Here's what's coming up on today's show.
I pulled this Zig Ziglar quote, which I thought was great. And it says, don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want now.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Today, we're going to talk about some of the reasons or excuses that families have for not participating in the financial planning process and what you can do to start moving forward. Welcome in, Dan and Brent. Good to talk to you again. Why is this such an important topic to discuss today?
Well, I mean, you know, financial plan, I don't even like the word financial planning, to be honest with you.
I think it scares people
In itself. And so, but there's so many benefits that come out of financial planning that aren't like these really sophisticated things, but that revolve around, you know, just knowing what you're trying to achieve, right? As a household is a super important piece. And there's a lot of different things. Security, peace of mind comes from having a well thought out plan, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, and I think in general, just the fact of the matter is today we really want to talk about, you shouldn't be scared of it. You should embrace it. Because I think the financial planning industry has done a really poor job of kind of really explaining what it can be.
Right.
And so people think it's this great big undertaking where, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to collect all this stuff and I'm going to have to go in and talk about stuff I don't want to talk about, right?
And really sophisticated investment philosophies and all these different things. But, you know, it really does help you minimize your taxes and accumulate wealth and do a lot of those important things. But it doesn't have to be this huge undertaking.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. And I mean, you look at the numbers, like there was a study in 2019 by the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, and it says only about 30% of U.S. adults reported having a comprehensive plan. I think that's probably high, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about just like, oh, I went and set up an IRA with somebody. Right. Or, you know, that's not a plan. That's just, it's a good first step.
Right.
But I think that number might even be a little high. And so that's why we wanted to address this, right? Because it's a problem.
Yeah, there's definitely, and we're going to talk about the barriers, you know, that are out there and what's preventing people from going through this process. And then we'll talk a little bit at the end about some of the solutions for you as well.
Well, very good. As we go through this today, again, I remind you that you can find everything online at averywealth.com, or you can call Dan and Brent at 517-783-1695. Now, the benefits of financial planning are obvious to many of us. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you understand that probably too. But what are some of those reasons then, even if that 30% number is correct, what are the reasons then for the 70% of families that are not engaged in the process?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just a lack of financial education. And, you know, and that's a huge issue with lots of things in life, right? If you don't understand something, what do you do?
Well, you usually, and this is really true in this area, you do absolutely nothing.
Right.
Right. It's like, well, it'll hopefully take care of itself.
Yep.
And we know how that goes. It doesn't matter if it's your finances or your own health or whatever it is. If you just kind of hope that it's going to happen, it's probably never going to happen.
Yep.
And so, that goes right along with, you know, there's a lack of awareness of what the potential benefits are. And we talked a little bit about just thinking of the peace of mind that comes with having a plan where you know where you're at right now and you're doing something to work towards improving that. There's a lot of peace of mind in that.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Like, you think about if people realize the kind of peace of mind and the improvement in financial well-being that meeting with a certified financial planner can provide, I think a lot more people would.
Right.
But I think maybe too, the other thing is that a lot of people probably feel like, oh, that's just for rich people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or really, you know, that it's so complicated.
Yeah.
And you are getting that daunting, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to gather all this information. I'm going to have to do all these different things. And so, you know, it just gets put on the back burner because a lot of people don't think about just getting a foundation established, right, of understanding what you have coming in, what you have going out, and what you've accumulated, that's a big part of financial planning.
Well, it is. It is. You think of like the two things that hopefully you most people that know what they are is like an income statement, what's coming in, what's going out, or cash flow, yep, some people call it, and just your net worth statement. What do I have today? You know, what do I owe other people? I mean, what a great thing. That's not overly complicated.
No.
In most people, that's a great thing to even think about as we get into this.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand how families feel overwhelmed and unsure. I mean, financial planning can seem really complicated when you look at it. So I definitely can follow along with that reasoning. What's another reason then that families will shy away from planning?
Well, this is, again, I think a lot of these are going to relate to other things in life as well, but procrastination and, you know, just focused on the short term instead of the long term is a big reason why people don't do this.
Yeah, we are so wired that way. I mean, going all the way back to like survival back in caveman days where you had to be alert all the time and it was like, you know, basically what, flight or fight, right?
Yep.
Depending on the situation. And so we aren't wired on our own to like really spend time on things that don't give us an immediate kind of gratification, right? But often have really good long-term rewards. We're just not wired to like make choices around those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're, I mean, we are, you know, like if you can eat a meal, like going back to what you're referring to, if you eat a meal right now, you're going to eat a meal, right? Mm-hmm. Cause they had to survive. Well, you know, over time it became really important that you were able to eat for a long period of time, right?
Store,
but you don't
food
always think about
things,
that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
and
store,
so it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think there's so many things like that. Like Brent and I talk a lot about the parallels between money and financial planning and even physical fitness. Like working out's not fun.
No.
I mean, it can be in some regards, but for the most part, you're like, oh, I want to get that done. And when you get it done, you're like, oh, you feel great, right?
Right. But you can't do it, you know, one time and think that that's going to give you like, oh, I'm healthy now. You know, I just walked around the block or whatever may be the case.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought that I pulled this Zig Ziglar quote, which I thought was great. And it says, don't sacrifice what you want most for what you want now. Right. And that's the thing with all of this is, and we talked about some of that, getting really clear on what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Will help you prioritize some of those things and hopefully gear you towards thinking about the long term instead of just like what you can have right now, shiny new car, new house, whatever may be the case.
Yeah, that immediate gratification is hard to like fight. So you have to be conscious of it. And the other thing really is plenty that concept, oh, we got all kinds of time.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk to people, you know, they'll come in and they're like 52, 53, and they'll be like, man, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I just started working.
Yeah. Or I wish I had done this, you know, years ago or, you know, whatever may be the case. The other one that's really, really common is somebody will say, well, I was saving, you know, but then some other priorities came up and then I turned it off and that was 7 years ago.
Yep.
And so it's just like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's not going to get you the long-term results that you're hoping for.
Yeah. And I think overall, it's just that awareness that, look, we're wired to focus on now. And so just being aware of, hey, I got to work a little bit harder to put that focus towards other things and do some of that planning, you know, is a good thing to really think through.
I think that another one is just this, you know, when you're procrastinating, is it really because you're lazy, right? Because that's what we always think about. Like, oh, they're just lazy. They're not going to do anything. Well, a lot of time that's just fear.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, well, I don't know what to do. We talked about that on the first reason. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to do nothing at all. That's a form of, that's procrastination. Right. And so when you allow fear to get in the way of your progress, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I think a good example that I talked to someone recently who actually was really pretty good with money, but hadn't ever sat down with anyone, a certified financial planner, to kind of work through things. And they had just been stockpiling money in the bank, right?
Yeah.
So they had given up because, you know, we know time, when you think of investing, is your best friend. And they had missed these opportunities to do things like fund their Roth IRA or, you know, each and every year. And they can't get those back. Now, the good thing is they save money, so they have money. But if they would have just engaged someone they could have made a lot more progress in the same amount of time, and they were already doing the hard part.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand procrastination. I think everybody understands how easy it is just to put stuff off and thinking you have plenty of time, and unfortunately, time waits for no one, right? And you can't get that back, so that's tough. What about the third reason families avoid financial planning?
Yeah, I think this is a big one, and it's complexity and perceived difficulty. So we often, like we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, we kind of make things bigger than they are oftentimes. It can be anything in life. Like we get overly nervous about something that if we step back, we're like, why am I doing that, right? Yeah. And we get overly excited about something the same way. And so, you know, I think that because people assume that it's going to be really complex and really difficult, they don't take that first step. And like we always say, like a simple first step, pick up the phone and talk to a certified financial planner.
Yeah.
I bet you'll be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, because, well, and that's what we have written out here in some of the show notes. Like when you think of financial planning, you think of like, oh, projections and cash flow, you know, management and tax planning and investing and all these, what would be pretty complicated, right? But really, I mean, it starts at, like we talked about, getting organized is a great place to start. And you are so far ahead if you just have that firm foundation in place where you can really start to make informed decisions and have peace of mind that you're doing the best that you can for your situation. Mm-hmm. And it's just so important. And it doesn't involve all that other stuff.
Right. Right. I think, honestly, and this is going to sound bad, I don't mean to trash our own industry, but in some regards, I feel like the financial planning industry has done that because there's fear in the industry, meaning there's fear that, oh, people will just do this themselves if we give them too much, right?
Or if we simplify it in a way that everybody can understand, then what do they need us for?
Right.
Right? Well, and there's, and you and I know there's a lot to that,
right?
But you're totally right. I mean, we have complicated it because we need it to be complicated so that we can feel really smart for some reason, instead of just being like, hey, here's some simple things that you can do that will really move the needle for you and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, baby steps, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden people walk out and they're like, oh, you know, I know Brent and I, we've started using some simpler tools to try to make things easier to understand for families. And the response has been amazing. Like we have literally seen people's faces light up.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
And so I just need to focus on this. And we're like, yeah. And they're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome to see. And so this complexity and perceived difficulty, I think it's been sold that way as financial planning has been. And what we're here to tell you today is there's a simpler way.
Yeah.
That you can really, you know, understand it and really feel like you've got ownership over it.
Talking about the reasons why families shy away from financial planning here on the Retirement Cafe. We've gone through the first three reasons. What's reason number four?
Well, number four gets into some of the emotions, and it's fear and avoidance of money matters, right? And so when you're talking about money and finance and all that, there's a lot of emotions that stir up based on somebody's experiences, right? So like we all grew up in different situations, everybody, right? So, you know, some were wealthy, some had nothing, some were in between. And so, you know, money can bring up all these different emotions in people. And it's really challenging, right? When you're doing that with someone else.
Right. I don't think there's any question. I think we have a huge problem in our country, two areas, high school education around money and family education around money. Like, you know, for years, it's been kind of taboo for parents to talk to their kids about what they're doing and what they have and in kind of the position they're in. And what's funny is I think part of that is driven around maybe parents feel like they might be embarrassed, or maybe they're like, oh, if they know I've accumulated this, they're not going to go work.
Right.
They're going to just sit around expecting me to cover this, right? And the reality is it's completely the opposite. I mean, I have three children. I'm pretty open with them about what we, you know, kind of what we do and how we're handling our money. And I find they're all very independent and they want to do those things.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and if you're growing up in a different situation, it could be totally different. And so it's really, I think it's super important to realize that, you know, money brings out feelings of security in one person and stress and anxiety in another person.
Yep.
Right. Or, you know, embarrassment and guilt, or there's control. There's all these different emotions that are tied up. And it's, and what's so important is that, one, you and your spouse know each other's, right? In that, and it's really important that you know your own,
right?
And so why am I feeling this way about money? And maybe the why isn't as important, but hey, here's how I feel about money and what can I do about it moving forward to make sure that I don't sabotage my own situation.
Right, right. And again, going back to what we were talking about just prior is the simplification. So understanding, because when you get control, I always equate this to like, a lot of men don't like going to get their physicals because I think deep down we're trying to be macho and we're afraid they might find something wrong with us, right? But, you know, anybody that's done that and goes to their annual physical, it's empowering because you walk out of there and you actually feel like, oh, I didn't need, you know, and all these emotions you're talking about can apply the same thing to your health.
Right.
And you walk out because you've taken that time. And what did they do? They basically did some basic measurements.
Right.
What's your blood work look like? What's your blood pressure? You know, all these different things. Listen to your heart. And most people, you know, after they've gone through that, they're like, that wasn't so bad. Right?
Yeah.
And you feel a lot better walking out. And if they do identify something, they can take care of it, right? This is the same. I feel like there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we fear the unknown for sure. And whenever, usually it's not nearly as bad as we had built up in our own minds. Money's the same way, too.
That is so true.
Number five, what's our fifth reason then today?
I think it's lack of time, right? And this is so interesting to me because we always had the same amount of time. We had the same amount of time. It hadn't changed.
Yeah.
You know, like our parents, our grandparents, you know, and everything else. And we actually probably have more tools of efficiency today than we've ever had, like our phones and things like that. But yet people feel busier, right?
Yeah.
They feel that way. And I think it's because they're constantly bombarded with all this content, right? Right. And so I think it's so important to understand that, you know, if you can kind of keep that out there in the forefront, you know, that's a reality in life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, figure out a way to make time.
Because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we're all busy in all these different areas of our lives. Everybody's busy. I get that, but it comes down to prioritizing things, because if you just, and we're not, I don't think that this should take that much of your time.
I agree.
I don't think that this should be your main focus. I think it should be, you know, that you're setting yourself up to achieve the things you want to achieve in life and making sure that you're moving the needle towards that occurring, right? And it shouldn't dominate your life. And the problem is that's what it usually ends up happening. We have some people that this dominates their life and their time, which isn't healthy. And then we have other people that are on the exact opposite of that and are doing nothing about it. And that's a problem as well. So it's, with everything, there's just balance.
Yeah, I mean, Brent and I talk all the time to clients about creating systems that you can put on cruise control, autopilot, because you don't want this to be time-consuming from a standpoint that you have to make decisions all the time.
Right.
And if you can say, hey, these are things, I'll give you a simple example, and most of us have done it. I set my, you know, contribution to my 401k, and I don't even think about it.
Right.
It happens every month, right? What if I buy life insurance and they take that premium out of my checking account every month? It just happens and it's getting done, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing with this stuff with time. One of the good things you could do is create systems that allows you to not be in the middle of it all the time. But I totally agree, Brent, what you're saying is that people get, if this is 100% or whatever, a big point of focus in your life, what I mean by that is not making sure you're making good decisions, but like studying things all the time and, you know, wondering if you're doing the right thing all the time, that's probably not going to be a good thing.
Right. Instead, you should just be focusing on the areas that you need improvement in.
Yep.
Right. And we can measure, hey, you're doing great in this area. This is an area that you need improvement in. Let's focus on that and give you a few things you can do and do them.
Yep.
Right. That's how you get ahead. Because if you start throwing, you know, like all those words that we used before, and you're like, oh, well, we need this plan and an investment plan and a cash flow plan and a this at somebody, of course they're going to look at you and be like, well, I don't really have time for that, because they don't.
Right.
But if you simplify it, you can really get somewhere.
And the funny part about all that, you can do all those long-term projections and all those things. Unfortunately, your life changes tomorrow. Every day it changes.
Yes.
And so those things are rarely correct anyway.
Right.
So focus on what you can control today with those good habits, and good things generally are going to happen.
Well, those are five reasons then why families typically shy away from financial planning. And I'm sure just about everyone listening can relate to at least one of those reasons for why they put things off at some point. So we got the reasons. Now, what can we do then to overcome them?
I think the big thing is understanding the huge benefits, right?
Yeah.
Because it isn't immediate. But if you look at the long-term benefits of developing kind of for younger people, we like to call it coaching versus planning, really. You know, a coaching relationship with a certified financial planner, is you get some major improvements. What are some of those?
Yeah, well, we have some studies. So the CFP board, which we mentioned earlier, found individuals who engage in financial planning had a median household investable assets of 2.5 times those who didn't, right? And so some people might be like, well, you know, that's because they needed it. Well, that's not all those people, right? And so it can really, really move the needle. Because, it's prioritizing some things for you and helping you do things to set yourself up for the future.
That, first of all, it's kind of like I can tell you someone that's got a personal trainer probably goes to the gym more than 2.5 times than the person who doesn't.
Right, right.
It's the same kind of idea.
Yes. Yeah. And then the American Psychological Association, so we talked about the emotions around this. This is so important. Reported that 73% of families who engaged in financial planning felt confident in their financial future, compared to only 44%. So you have so much more confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really, that's the peace of the mind, security, all those types of things.
I don't know if you can put. Like, that is so important. I mean, that is absolutely incredible to think about.
Yeah.
Because you think of all the stress in the world today around money, and just by engaging a certified financial planner and creating some basic, simple things to be doing, you're going to feel way better about your money.
Well, you mentioned the coaching, right? So coaching, what we're talking about is we always want to make work optional, right? So that you're progressing towards making work optional. That's financial independence, some people would call it. That the feeling of that is unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you don't have to go to work, you're choosing to still go to work, or maybe you retire. Everybody wants to know that they're on the path to that, right? And so if you have outlined some strategies that are helping you do that, of course you're going to feel better about it,
right? Yeah. Another study Vanguard did, which we've seen this one before, working with a qualified advisor can add up to 3% annually in net portfolio returns over long periods of time. There's a lot that goes into that. There's taxes, there's investment allocation, there's discipline, right? There's all kinds of stuff. Stay in the course.
Yeah.
But the difference between 3%, what that really equates to is the difference, and we've seen this in other studies, is like basically what it's saying is that if you're investing or trying to invest in stocks, and you're not working with someone to help you, you're getting the return of a bond.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're getting a low return because of all these things that you're not quite doing right. And you might be doing 90% of it right.
Yeah.
But missing out on that 10% of, you know, like you're managing your emotions and making sure that the funds are positioned where they should be and making sure your taxes are being accounted for, right?
Yeah. Well, I did the math on it. So who knows what those returns are,
right?
But I just was like, okay, what does this really mean? Because a lot of times people think 3%, like, I don't know what, you know, like, I don't know what that means. So let's say you had $100,000, mm-hmm. right? And you were going to work with a financial advisor, and let's say that's an 8% return, and without one, you got a 5% return, right? If you did that for 20 years, you had that $100,000, the one without at 5% grows to about $265,000 mm-hmm. with a financial advisor. In this example, like, just to give you an idea of what that means, at 8% was $466,000, a difference of $200,000.
Yep. Over,
you know, but I mean, that's unbelievable. So 3%, some people are like, oh, well, whatever, 3%, that doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah.
Because 3% in other things isn't that much, but when you compound it over 20 years, it's huge.
It's massive. So another area really is just get educated and organized when you're talking about how do you start overcoming these things, right? Like, you know, there are coaching programs out there that are being developed for families that are accumulating money. For years, none of that existed.
Right.
Like, you had to already have your money to even find a certified financial planner, right?
Yes.
That's changing.
Yes.
Which is huge, right? And like we talk about, seek help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So many people are afraid to pick up the phone, that fear thing, you know, that we talked about earlier. So few people are willing to do that. Just take the step and talk to somebody. That doesn't mean you have to hire them, right? But just get yourself educated, get organized, right? So you understand what you have and what you're working with. And those are a couple of huge things that you can do. And
yeah.
Then the last one, just simplify the process. Well, it's not the last one, but it's close to it.
Yeah.
And so we talked about this earlier, like we didn't really like the word planning. Like, and I think, was it Carl? I listened to a podcast with Carl Richards recently where he was like, I've never had in all the years that I've worked where somebody called me and said, I need a financial plan.
Yeah,
right? Right. Like that's not, you know, no one ever does that. But what people want to know is, are they doing the right things to put themselves in a better position? Or what do I do next? Right.
Like, right.
What are some actionable things that I can do?
Yeah, I love his thing. He said, basically, people want an answer to an immediate question they have, or what do I need to do next?
Yes, exactly.
Right? So we kind of, you know, and actually Carl's helped with some of these, and I think they're great questions. If you don't know who Carl Richards is, he's a kind of a guy that used to be a financial advisor. Now he just kind of works with financial advisors and helps them. But some of the questions that are really great are just four, which are you using your income wisely, right?
Right.
Where you're... Money can only go four places: taxes, like debt payments, spending or saving. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Do you have the right mix of assets? Where is your money?
Yeah. Is it tied up in real estate? Is it investable? Where is it in the bank? Where is that? Where's your money tied up?
Yeah. Are you taking the right amount of risk? That's a great question. And that's not just investment risk, right? Like you might like have a bunch of risk around liability or maybe your income where you don't have the right amount of life insurance.
Right.
But it's really just designed at a high level to identify those things. And then are you progressing toward making work optional, right?
Yeah.
Are you making progress?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, isn't that what everybody wants?
Right. I mean, everybody wants financial independence.
Yeah.
Right? And by taking some of these steps, and that's the last one, is just take action. Like, start doing some of this stuff. You know, just get yourself organized is a great first step, like I said. And then start working on those four questions. Try to understand what those mean. And I can tell you, if you can answer those four questions, you're going to be able to make some really good, informed decisions about what you should be doing, right?
Yes.
What's the next step?
Yeah, because he answers those questions. It's funny. It's like the light bulb goes off.
Yeah.
Like as an example, do I have the right mix of assets? Somebody might look at that and go, no, I need to work. You know, right now my priority should be doing X, Y, and
Z. Yeah.
To kind of get that where it should be.
Yeah, because you could have all of your net worth in your house.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, yeah, you're worth a ton, but you can't get any of that money unless you sell your house,
right?
Or take a loan against it, I guess. So, you know, it really helps you start to know more about your situation.
Yeah, I think it's so great because it's such a simple process to, like, focus first thing on those four questions. I love it.
Well, great conversation and one that hopefully will help out a lot of families that are really thinking about financial planning, but have found a reason why not to do it for so long. Hopefully this will help motivate them to do it. If you have questions for Dan and Brent, again, 517-783-1695 is the number for Avery Wealth, and you can always log on to averywealth.com. And as we like to do, let's go ahead and just summarize everything we've talked about before we close it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, we talked about all the excuses that you can give yourself to not do what really is going to help you and your family be successful long term and be confident in the things that you're doing. So we can't emphasize it enough that, you know, having long term financial health is really going to improve your quality of life. I mean, in so many different areas, not just financially in your pocket, but between your ears. It's really going to help you feel confident and secure in the things that you're doing. So we just really, really encourage you to reach out to a certified financial planner. Dan and I, of course, are always available. If you just have questions and concerns, we'd be happy to speak with you.
Well, very good, guys. Dan and Brent, always a pleasure catching up with you and hearing more about everything you do day to day at Avery Wealth. And hopefully today's episode has been very helpful. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Cafe. For Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth, we appreciate you listening. Please hit subscribe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.